Hey everybody, Doc Brian here, and welcome to Doc Talks. We talk about people's troubles, trials, tribulations, and hopefully triumphs in life. Today we're in LifeWord Studios broadcasting in 127 countries and over 175 languages to a potential listening audience of 2 billion people. You can find all of our content at lifeword.org. I've been thinking about this conversation for a long time, because honestly, it's one we don't have nearly enough. We spend a lot of time talking about church growth, evangelism, theology, leadership, and discipleship. And those things are important conversations. But today I want to talk about the person standing behind the pulpit, maybe the missionary serving overseas, or the worship leader, or the Sunday school teacher. Or maybe you're simply someone who spent years caring for everyone around you. Today's conversation is about burnout, compassion fatigue, anxiety, depression, and what happens when the shepherd becomes exhausted. Now, before we get very far, I want to say something that is incredibly important. There is a difference between being spiritually weak and being emotionally exhausted. Those two things are not the same. Some of the godliest people in Scripture experienced overwhelming discouragement. Elijah did, Jeremiah, David certainly did. Even the Apostle Paul described seasons of tremendous pressure. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, that we were pressed out of measure, even above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Think about that. Paul wasn't saying he had weak faith. He was saying the burden became so great that he felt crushed under its weight. If Paul could honestly say that, maybe we should stop pretending that we never felt that way. You know, people usually ask pastors one question: how's the church? Attendance, giving, building projects, vacation Bible school, Sunday attendance. Those aren't bad questions, but very few people ask, how's your heart? And honestly, there have been seasons in my own life where I wouldn't have known how to answer that question. I can tell you everything happening in the church. I knew every hospital patient, every funeral, every counseling appointment, every family crisis, every budget concern, every prayer request. I knew everyone else's burdens while quietly ignoring my own. And maybe you've been there. You've spent so much time pouring into others that you never notice your own tank is almost empty. And eventually, you stop caring. You simply lose the emotional ability to keep caring the same way. That is compassion fatigue. Psychologists often describe compassion fatigue as the emotional, physical, and spiritual exhaustion that comes from prolonged exposure to other people's pains. It's commonly seen among pastors, counselors, nurses, physicians, police officers, firefighters, hospice workers, and caregivers. We saw this a lot during COVID. Unlike ordinary tiredness, compassion fatigue slowly changes how you experience people. You become emotionally numb. You begin avoiding conversations. You dread phone calls. Small problems suddenly feel enormous. You lose patience more quickly. You begin to question your purpose. And that doesn't necessarily mean you've lost your calling. It may simply mean your soul has been neglected for too long. Now, burnout doesn't usually happen all at once. It's more like a tire losing air, slowly, almost unnoticed. Maybe you've become more cynical. Maybe you start feeling detached from people. Maybe sermon preparation becomes just another task instead of worship. Prayer feels mechanical. Bible reading becomes sermon research instead of personal fellowship. Or you laugh less. You sleep less. You begin thinking, I'm just tired. Then you think, I don't make a difference. And eventually it's, I don't know if I can keep doing this. And if you're there today, you're not alone. One of my favorite stories is found in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah has just experienced one of the greatest victories recorded in Scripture. Fire fell from heaven, the prophets of Baal were defeated. You would expect chapter 19 to begin with celebration, but instead Elijah runs into the wilderness. He sits under a juniper tree and prays, "It is enough." Then he asks God to let him die. And what fascinates me is God's response. He doesn't begin with a lecture. He doesn't say, "Where's your faith?" Instead, God tells Elijah to sleep. Then he feeds him. Then he lets him sleep again. Only afterward does God begin speaking to him. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is sleep. Let me say that again. Sometimes the most spiritual thing that you can do is sleep. Sometimes your body needs care before your mind can clearly hear truth. God created us as whole people, body, mind, and spirit. Ignoring one eventually affects the others. Now, let's talk about anxiety for a minute. Everyone experiences anxiety. It's part of being human. Healthy anxiety alerts us to danger, but unhealthy anxiety convinces us danger is everywhere. As pastors, our mind never stops. We replay conversations. We wonder whether someone understood the sermon. We worry about finances, attendance, conflict, our family, our church members. We worry about the future. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow." That doesn't mean to ignore the responsibility. It means to stop trying to carry tomorrow before it arrives. One practical psychological technique that many counselors teach is called grounding. When anxiety begins racing, intentionally slow yourself down. Take slow, deep breaths. Notice 5 things you can see, 4 things you can touch, 3 things you can hear, 2 things you smell, 1 thing you taste. This simple exercise helps bring your brain back into the present instead of living in unimagined future disasters. Pair that with Scripture. Read it slowly. Pray it through. Let the truth interrupt the anxious thoughts. As Philippians 4, 6 through 8 reminds us, we are to bring our requests to God through prayer and then intentionally dwell on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. Notice Paul doesn't simply tell us to stop worrying. He gives us something healthy to replace it with. Now let's talk about depression. Depression is more than having a bad day. It's more than sadness. Clinical depression often involves persistent low mood, lasting at least 2 weeks, loss of pleasure in activities, fatigue, changes in sleep or appetite, difficulty concentrating, feelings of worthlessness, and sometimes thoughts of death or suicide. Now hear me. Spiritually mature people can experience clinical depression. David did. Jeremiah did. Charles Spurgeon battled it. The existence of depression does not automatically indicate spiritual failure. It means you're human. Now, psychologically, evidence-based treatment often includes a combination of a couple of things. Cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT. It helps identify distorted thinking patterns and replace them with healthier, more accurate thoughts. Or then there's interpersonal therapy, or IPT, which focuses on relationships, grief, role transitions, and conflicts. There's lifestyle interventions such as regular exercise, sleep hygiene, balanced nutrition, stress management, and social connection. Then medication, when appropriate, is prescribed and monitored by a medical professional. And many people benefit from combining counseling, medical care, supportive relationships, and spiritual disciplines. These approaches are not enemies of faith. Let me say that again. These approaches are not enemies of faith. They can work together. God often ministers through gifted physicians, psychologists, counselors, and pastors. One of burnout's greatest lies is that no one would understand. So don't isolate. Isolation feeds depression. Community weakens isolation. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 says in part, two are better than one, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Listen, find your people. Not everyone, just a few trusted individuals. People who know your struggles. People who ask about your heart, not just your ministry. People who can tell when your smile isn't genuine. Now, I know some Christians don't like the phrase self-care. Maybe a better phrase is faithful stewardship. Your body belongs to God. Your mind belongs to God. Your life belongs to God. So care for them. Sleep. Exercise. Eat nourishing food. Take the day off. Enjoy your family. Laugh. Read for enjoyment. Take walks. Pursue some hobby. Even Jesus withdrew from crowds to rest and pray. If the Son of God rested, we should not feel guilty for doing the same. Now, if you've reached the point where you're thinking, I don't know if I can keep doing this, pause. Don't make permanent decisions during temporary exhaustion. Fatigue distorts perspective. Before resigning, rest. Talk with your friends. Meet with your doctor. Meet with a counselor. Pray. Give yourself time to recover before making life-changing decisions. Sometimes what feels like a calling crisis is actually an exhaustion crisis. Now, there are times when burnout becomes something much more serious. If you're experiencing any of the following, don't wait. Persistent depression lasting weeks, panic attacks, severe anxiety interfering with daily life, thoughts that your family would be better off without you, thoughts of harming yourself, feeling unable to care for yourself or your family. Please seek immediate help. Talk with someone you trust today. Contact your physician. Schedule an appointment with a licensed mental health professional. If you're having thoughts of suicide or believe you're in immediate danger of harming yourself, call 911 or go to the nearest emergency room immediately. Stay with trusted people until you are safe. Seeking help is not weakness. Let me say that again. Seeking help is not weakness. It is wisdom. Just as we'd encourage someone with chest pain to seek medical attention, we should encourage those experiencing severe emotional pain to seek appropriate care without shame. Here's one final thought for you. Every airplane safety briefing says the same thing. Put your oxygen mask on first. As a child, I thought that sounded selfish, but as an adult, I understand. If you lose consciousness trying to save everyone else, you won't be able to save anyone. And that same principle applies in ministry. Taking care of your soul is not selfish. It's one of the most loving things you can do for the people of God that you have been entrusted with your care. Your church needs a healthy pastor. Your family needs a healthy husband and father. Your friends need a healthy friend. And before all of those things, God desires your fellowship more than your productivity. Remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The last part of that says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friend, if you're tired today, Jesus does not shame you for your weariness. He invites you to come. Rest is not the reward for finishing the race. Sometimes it's the grace God gives us so we can continue running it. I want to thank you for listening today. And my prayer is that you'll care for your soul as faithfully as you care for those that God has placed in your path. I pray that the Lord would strengthen you, sustain you, and remind you that even shepherds need the care of the chief shepherd. I'm Doc Brian. You can find all of my contacts at thedocbrian.com. Again, you can find all of our Christian content at lifeword.org. Thank you so much for being with us here today, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.